Mark chapter 7 and verse number 31. We have preached all around this, and I've read over it several times, but then last night I started reading over it again, or yesterday morning early, started reading over it again, and man, the Lord just grabbed my heart and said, hey, study this, and so that's what I started doing. I think if we are not careful, we will allow the miracles of God recorded in the Bible to become just another story that we hear rather than it being a life-changing, factual event that happened. And I want to look at this life-changing event that happened to this man today, and with the Lord's help, We'll preach through those verses 31 through 37. The Bible says, and again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee. Now, I need to say this. I know you've heard me mention it, but this is about a 30 to 50 mile, depending on which town he went in, one-way trip, be about anywhere from a 60 to 100 mile round trip in just a couple of days. This is a long journey. He came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And that's important too. Decapolis just means 10 cities. And there were 10 cities, and that region was called Decapolis. I don't know all of the 10 cities. I'm sure we could look them up. But satisfied to say that he was in a certain area that he had been before. Verse 32, and they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him, and he took him aside from the multitude, and he put his fingers in his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it. And they were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Heavenly Father, please help me as I preach this morning. Thank you for what you have done in this church service. Thank you for the songs that have been sung. Thank you for the Sunday school lessons that have been taught. Thank you for those who have studied faithfully. Now, Father, I pray that you would take what I have studied and what you've given to me and allow me, Lord, to plainly present it to your people that honors your word in a way that honors your word. Lord, that my opinion would be set off to the side, but that your precious, wonderful, life-changing, life-giving word would be presented to your people. And I pray, God, that if there be someone here that is your creation, but not yet your child, God, that you would convict in their heart, show them their need of salvation, and they would for the first time today see themselves lost and undone and in need of a Savior. God, I pray that you would work mightily in this church service today. Save that one nearest to hell. If there be someone watching online, Lord, that does not know you and the free pardon of sin, or they've grown cold and indifferent, or they've forgotten the blessings or the times that they've drank from their saucer, God, I pray that you'd remind them of that, Lord. And they'd remember today just how good you are and that you have done all things well. Thank you, Lord, for who you are, what you are, and what you're doing. I love you. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. In verse number 31, I was specific in pointing out the mileage of that place. And I guess because I enjoy long distance running, the mileage means a little bit more to me than what it used to. But what's really important here is the region that is named, the place. In verse number 31, the place Decapolis, which does mean 10 cities. And it's the same place in Mark chapter number 5 where the maniac of Gadara published what Jesus had done for him. Matter of fact, if you go back and you look at Mark 5 and verses number 18 through 20, the Bible says, "And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in" where? Decapolis. He published in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Now, just a few verses before that, I did not read this, but the Bible says in verse number 17 that after that he had healed this man and he had dealt with them, and the demons had ran down in the swine, had ran down into the Sea of Galilee, that they began to pray him to depart out of their coast in chapter number 5. And God set a man in the middle of they, and isn't it amazing how nobody knows who they is, but they sure has a whole lot of opinions. They sure knows what everybody else ought to be doing. They sure do understand everything better than everybody else. And here is they, and they're asking the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to get out of town because of a wonderful work of a man's life being saved and being changed. But oh, how the scene has flipped here. Jesus has gone to Tyre and Sidon. He's met with the Syrophoenician woman, and he's delivered her little girl and saved her from the possession of the devil there. And now we find they, y'all okay? Y'all better get in this morning. Y'all know this is better than what you letting on, amen? Y'all okay? We find that because everybody around here wants to blame they when something goes wrong. Well, if they would have done it, here we are. Now we're finally getting to see who they is, all right? And they are now asking Jesus, "Hey, a little while ago, we wanted you out of our life. We didn't want anything to do with you. But now in this chapter of the Bible, they are bringing somebody to Jesus that could stand to have some healing." I get sick to death of they. If you come to me, time out. If you come to me with a church problem and you tell me they, my first question to you is going to be, who is they? And if you can't tell me who they is, then I'm going to assume it is you that has the problem and not the church. Time in. They are asking Jesus to heal this man. And they're in Decapolis, and Jesus has had a man, I don't know how long it'd been since Jesus had been in Decapolis. I don't know how long transpired between Mark chapter 5 and Mark chapter number 7, but in Mark chapter number 5, Jesus took a man that the society thought was helpless. Jesus took a man that society thought that he was done and his life was over with. The Bible says that he lived among the tombs. He had cut himself. He was naked. He had been bound in fetters and chains, and no man could bind him. And Jesus took that same man that society had given up on him, turned him into a preacher, turned him into somebody that would establish the Word of God, sent him out into Decapolis, and that man began to preach how many great things that Jesus had done. Hallelujah. Now here he is back in Decapolis. And after that little faithful preacher that some knew as a maniac had been preaching a while, now they want Jesus to work. Woo! Hallelujah! Thank God for the little preacher that got faithful and said, "I'm just going to stick in it. I'm just going to stay. I'm just going to sit down in the Decapolis and preach what Jesus has done." Thank God he came back to that place and he had himself a primed people ready to hear because somebody had been obedient to what Jesus had told him to do. We're in Decapolis. Y'all still with me, right?
Amen.
Y'all matching, preacher?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Praise the Lord. I like that. I'm sorry. Had a squirrel there. He's in Decapolis. And the Bible says, and they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hands on him. So the first thing I want you to, I want you to notice the place, but then the next thing I want you to notice is the need that they brought to him. They brought a man that was deaf. Brought a man that was deaf. He couldn't hear anything, and what makes this so significant is in those days and times, if you had a special need like that, you were pretty much doomed in society. You didn't have the ability to make money. You didn't have the ability to be a provider. You didn't have social programs that would assist you to help with this need that you had. You didn't have the benefits that you could get or could apply for in those days. If you couldn't hear, you couldn't function. And it's very likely that this man was not born deaf, but rather something had happened and had caused him to be deaf. We don't read where it says that he was born this way. It wasn't a congenial thing. It was something that had happened. More likely, it was something that had happened later in his life because the man had already gained friends. He had already had people. He was not an outcast of society. They were liking him at that moment. And so here's this man who the Bible explicitly says has become deaf or is deaf. And then they goes on to say, or then the Bible goes on to say, and had an impediment of the speech. Now the word for the phrase has an impediment of the speech is a Greek word and is megalalos, which means speaking with difficulty, hard speaking, barely speaking, hoarse speaking. So this impediment, I think the reason that we say he was dumb, I don't believe that it wasn't that he couldn't speak, but rather that his speech was so impaired, probably because of the deafness that he had, that he was very difficult to understand. That would mean it would make it hard for him to earn a living or to communicate with people or to have a relationship with anyone. I mean, you think about us, we find it easy to communicate, and even our dialects here, amen, in the South, they're different from the North. The Osbournes, they was up there in Michigan up there. I can't even say it right in my Southern accent, amen. They were up there this past week, and no doubt the difference, the people, the culture might be similar, might be same, but the speech is very different. And so even people from up North that come down here in the South, and they're like, man, what did he say? I remember one Wednesday night I was preaching, and I was going to another scripture, and in my mind I said, put your finger in there. Put your finger in that specific place. Put your finger in there. And then I went to another scripture and I started reading. Something made me look up, brother. And when I looked up, there were about a dozen people in the sanctuary had their finger up like this. Because they heard, put your finger in there. Y'all right? So even our dialect and how we sound can be different. It can be enough for where someone can't understand clearly what we said because of how we speak. I believe that's what this man was dealing with here. He had this impediment, maybe not necessarily a dialect of his native language, but he had this impediment that prevented him from being able to properly or correctly communicate to people. It might have been so bad that he had to write things down. And so that in itself would be a difficulty that he would have had to have worked through. Some of you know what that difficulty is like. I can't read this scripture without thinking about sweet Miss Betty, and God bless her, one of the sweetest prayer warriors I've ever had the privilege to know. But I remember the first time that she met me, and she talked with me, she spoke to me, and then she immediately looked at my face because she wanted to see how I was going to react to the sound of her speech impediment, amen? And she decided then and there that she liked me. I guess I must have reacted right, amen? I remember just talking with her, and sometimes the difficulty that she would have communicating things. Now, I don't know if you know this about Mr. Austin. Austin's mind is clear as a bell. He knows exactly what he's saying, but he has trouble sometimes getting it out to you. I promise you, if you'll listen, that old boy's speech will get clear as a bell if you'll take time to listen. Amen. But there's that impediment that's there that prevents from a clear communication. And that's what was going on here with this man in verse number 32. He had went deaf. He had had this impediment of his speech. And so what I'm trying to get you to see is that this man had situations and problems just like what we have today. The Bible says, and they bring unto him one that was deaf and the impediment of his speech, and they beseech him. The way that they brought him was begging. That's what that word beseech means. It means to beg. That's the simplest form of it. But it means to go and implore someone, do something for him. They beseech him. They're begging him. Our friend, he has an impediment and he's deaf. And they believed that Jesus could take care of this need that this man had. That's why it was so important to recognize that this is in Decapolis, where that little maniac who had been standing on some street corners saying, "You remember when I was crazy? And Jesus came along and cast them demons out of me." Maybe some of that they that was in that group stood off the side and they thought about that little maniac and said, "You remember when I used to run around naked and Jesus came along and clothed me and put me in my right mind?" Amen. And so those people that heard that preacher, they have their friend that's deaf, has the impediment of speech, and they begin to beg Jesus to, the Bible says this, touch him. To touch him. They didn't say, "We want you to strike your magic wand over him and everything be great." They didn't say, "We want you to do a great oration and give an incredible speech over this man." They said, "If you just touch him." Those people had enough power in the touch of the Lord to believe that this man's deafness and speech impediment would be healed and he could work and make a living and be whole if Jesus would just touch him. They begged him, "If you'll just touch him. That's what I want you to do. Just touch him, Lord." There's been times that I've been up at night praying, and I pray for you. "Lord, just touch him. Lord, just touch her. Lord, just touch her." Now, that look, that's not a saying that we come up with when we pray that. We're praying that God would move into your life. And that when he touches you, you will never be the same as you were before. That when the Lord reaches down and just a touch of you, one little lady in between Mark 5 and Mark chapter number 7 and Mark chapter number 6, she just touched him. Uh-huh. Y'all remember that, don't you? He just touched the hem. She just touched the hem of his garment and got healed. And Jesus said, "Who touched me? For I perceive that virtue has gone out of me." So these people aren't saying, "Let's just get him close enough to touch Jesus." They're saying, "Jesus, we want you to purposely, intentionally touch this man." My goodness, what would happen in Gateway Baptist Church if our friends got as passionate as this man's friends were, and we started praying one for another that God would just reach down out of heaven and touch somebody and you won't ever be the same. Amen. I'm reminded of Jacob back in the old place. I believe it's in Genesis chapter number 32, where he wrestles with God all night, and the Bible says that he reached in and touched the hollow of his thigh, and Jacob halted on his thigh the rest of his life. Here come old Jacob walking across, and you could tell by how he walked, he'd done been touched by God. Y'all right? You could see something different about him. That's what they wanted to see, was something different about this man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged Jesus, Lord, would you just touch him? I like what Jesus does in verse number 33. He gets real personal. He took him aside. Yeah. He got somebody out of the crowd. You know I'm coming to you. Come here, deaf man. Jesus gets the deaf man. He's deaf and he's got an impediment of speech. Jesus don't ask him to tell him anything. Jesus don't ask him for any money. He just pulls him aside and gets personal with him. I ain't gonna put my fingers in your ears. And I ain't gonna spit in your face. But Jesus brought that man out of the multitude, and they were probably just like you guys. They were watching to see what happened. But Jesus knew that in order for a transformation to take place in that man's life, it had to be between that man and Jesus. It couldn't be between Jesus and the crowd and that man. The crowd could watch it. The crowd could see it. The crowd could pray for it. The crowd could bring him to where he needed to be. The crowd could ask the Lord to work. The crowd could ask the Lord to touch him. But the crowd couldn't do the work, and Jesus had to do it personally for that man. Jesus got him off to the side. You go back to your seat. They got the point. Daniel's saying, thank the Lord. Jesus took him off to the side, and he begins to do a very personal thing. He stuck his fingers in his ears. That's personal. I'm not as bad as some, but I do have a little bit of a bubble. If you walk up to me and you stick your fingers in my ear, we're probably going to have a problem. Jesus got him off to the side, and he stuck his fingers in his ears. And then he said he spits. Now, what is most interesting about Jesus spitting, whether he spat on the man or whether he spat on his hand and then touched the man's lip, what is most interesting about that is in Mark chapter, earlier in this chapter, Mark 7, I believe it's 20, 21, right around in there, Jesus says it's not that which goes in a man that defiles him, it's that which comes out. And for an average, regular, everyday human being to be spat on would be a horrible thing. And we wouldn't appreciate that, and we wouldn't like that. But Jesus is not a regular human being. He is the Son of God. Even his saliva has the power of God in it. Amen? He's so incredible that even his spit has the power to change and loosen a tongue. By the way, there are three times in the King James Bible that it is recorded that Jesus spat. One of them's here in Mark chapter 7. Another one's in Mark chapter number 8, verse number 23. And then another one is in John chapter 9, where he spits on the ground, makes a little spittle, and wipes it in the man's eyes. There are three times that it's recorded. However, there are multiple times recorded in all four Gospels where to show disdain and disgust toward the Son of God, the Bible says that the people spat on him. So Jesus has a personal time with this man. He takes something that the world looks at as disgusting, as inappropriate, as not powerful at all, and he uses it to heal this man. The Bible says he spat and he touched his tongue. Now, whether the spit touched his tongue or whether he wiped it out of his hand and touched it, I don't know exactly how it happened, but I know that the power of God was on that man that day. Amen. And so here is this spit that doesn't sound appetizing. By the way, I'd like to just say this. Following the Lord and being obedient to the Word of God and doing what God requires of us doesn't always sound appealing. Your ministry might not include the pulpit where everybody shouts it out for you. The ministry that God puts you in, it might not include that a lot of people sing your praises and tell you how good you do. You're liable to stand in a pulpit for 2 years and nobody come to the altar. You're liable to preach your heart out. You're liable to give out gospel tracts every single day of your life and never see fruit from it. God didn't call you to get to hold the fruit. He didn't call you to get to say, well, this is where I want to be. No, he called you to be faithful. Amen. Do we understand the spit? No. Do we understand him? The word used for putting his fingers in his ears, the Greek word, means to thrust. This is not a gentle procedure. This man, that don't look like healing. I believe if Naaman would have been there that day, he'd have got mad. Y'all okay? I believe if Gehazi would have been there that day, he'd have got upset and went and chased Naaman down to get him some changes of clothes. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about, but you hang around Gateway long enough and you'll hear me preach about my favorite prophet.
I guess what happened when his wife seen him coming home.
Here's this man, he's deaf. He has a speech impediment. Jesus has just did some actions that the crowd probably was not expecting. And then he looks up to heaven. And he says, y'all look at this phrase here. What did I tell you is the reason why this man is brought to him, to Jesus? He is deaf. He's hearing impaired. The scripture says that Jesus saith unto him. He's taken him across out of the crowd. He's pulled him away. He's got him separate. He's thrust his fingers in his ears. He has put spit in his tongue, in his mouth. And now he's looking up to heaven and he says to this man, Epatho, which that means be open. And the Bible says that straightway or immediately his ears were open and the string of his tongue was loose and he spake plain. There is power in the Word of God. Jesus was the walking Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:14, and we beheld His glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Here is the Word of God, incarnate in the flesh, who says the little phrase, be opened. And immediately this man's ears were opened and the string of his tongue was loose and he began to speak plain. The healing was immediate. And he told him, don't go tell nobody, but the human heart wants to brag when something good happens. So he begins to publish it. And Jesus' works gets proved by what this man's testimony is. So now we got at least two witnesses in Decapolis that are preaching the Word of God. Whoo! They're sharing what Jesus had done for them. Wait a minute, Brother Josh. I think I'm getting out of this that if I give my testimony, people will hear it and they just might get saved. You exactly right. Hear your testimony. Say, man, if Jesus done that for him, maybe he can do it for me. You hear that? Some of you facing problems. You got deaf and dumbness spiritually. Somebody gets up here, begins to testify, and one or two things will happen in a testimony. Either you'll fold your arms and say, I don't believe it, or your heart will say, I wonder if God will do that for me too. And the answer is, He will. I think that's why he went back to Decapolis. It's because he knew that that old boy, we'll just call him Manny the Maniac. Amen? But he went from the maniac to the preacher, is down there preaching his heart out. And at some point in time, one of those friends said, man, if he'd do it for him, I bet he'd do it for me. They carried that old boy to Jesus. And he did exceedingly abundantly above all that they asked or thought. Jesus changed that man's life. Here's the problem. Some of you sitting here this morning thinking, well, Jesus ain't going to change my life. He sure won't if you don't let him. You'll sit there in your pride thinking you got it all figured out. How's that working out for you so far? Ain't got as much figured out as you thought you did. I'm telling you, Jesus is the answer. He said himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. My goodness. Why try your own way? You've heard the testimonies this morning. You've heard the scripture. Jesus can do it for you too. Amen. If you'll trust him. Father, in Jesus' holy name, Lord, you've heard what you've allowed me to preach. God, I pray that you would sit down in the hearts and the lives of these people. You would work. God, I pray that you'd strengthen, you'd help, you'd encourage the only way that you can. God, I pray if there be someone who's wondering whether or not you love them, Lord, that you'd demonstrate your love to them right now. Lord, I pray that just in simple faith, they would put their trust and their faith in you. And they would look to you and they would live. God, I pray if there be someone here that does not know you, never trusted you as Lord and Savior, Lord, save them today. Lord, let them call out unto you and ask you, Lord, to save and to help and to heal their life. Help us, Lord, to be friends that are passionate about getting people to Jesus, willing to bring someone to hear what Jesus can do. God, move here at Gateway. In your holy name I pray. Would you stand?